Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
It's 2 days to the second edition of Joy News Impact Makers Award. Good afternoon and welcome to the Midday News. We're live on Joy 99.7 FM here in Accra and Kumasi on Love 99.5 FM. We are live on myjoyonline.com, live in all 16 regions. We're on Kekeli Radio in Ho, Radio Max in Takrady, A1 Radio in Bogatanga. We're live on X Spaces. We're on Facebook. The Midday News is supported by Petrosol, your clean fuel in full quantity. Petrosol is always a delightful experience. Also brought to you by Dura Plus Ghana Limited, producers of quality PVC and HDPE pipes and water tank. We're the only water storage tank with a level indicator where Dura Plus goes. Water flows. This afternoon, board of directors of cement manufacturing companies also to face penalties of up to 3 years in jail under the trade minister's proposed LI for non-compliance with cement price regulations.
In case of body corporate, every director and officer of that body corporate is deemed to have committed that offence.
But what must have pushed the trades minister to take this hardline action?
Then I heard in the grapevine, you were literally teasing me. The minister couldn't do it. Nobody can resolve this matter of cement price. So I asked my officers put together an LI to regulate the pricing so that we'll be at peace.
But the subsidiary legislation committee is raising issues ahead of the formal laying of the LI.
I have looked at the Ghana Standards Authority Act. I have looked at the LI. I believe strongly that some provisions of the LI will be in conflict with the parent act.
We're live in Parliament for more on this. Also, environmental advocates praise the planned imposition of a 5% excess tax on locally manufactured plastic products, as they say will help deal with the plastic menace.
Urgent action needs to be taken against the plastic menace. It's doing us so much damage.
The environmental excess tax is good.
We have details as the plastic manufacturers accuse government of not using an already existing 10% environmental tax for its purpose.
Individuals are investing money into collection, buying their own trucks with the support of some companies who have donated tricycles for these guys to do it. Nothing from the government side.
We'll also go live to the courts for updates on the ongoing ambulance procurement trial as the prosecution continues the cross-examination of Richard Jakpa. The very latest from the court, we have sports.
The Ghana Football Association is confident about dominating world football with the Elite Talent Identification Project.
And there's a shortage of night watchmen in the Upper West Regional Capital Wa following the unresolved murders.
One model at junior high. And then I realized that the next person who was recommended to be the watchman didn't want to go. He said he won't go.
You want to stay for updates of that and more here on the Midday News. I am Emefa Apau. Many thanks for your company. This is your home of independent, fearless and credible journalism. We're digging now and details are emerging in the proposed legislative instrument in which the Trade and Industry Minister seeks to prevent cement manufacturers' exploitation of the public. Under the punishment regime, board of directors of cement manufacturing companies could be jailed to a maximum of 3 years if they fail to comply with the dictates of the instrument if passed by Parliament. Sector Minister K.T. Hammond tells my colleague Evans Mensah he had pushed for the cement manufacturers to self-regulate their pricing to ensure prices were not shooting over the roof. However, this call was not heeded, hence the need for a law to regulate them.
Well, if they won't, they decide not to comply, at the peril of the penalty.
What penalties are you proposing?
Well, it's pretty hefty. A person who contravenes what I've just indicated to you is liable conviction to the penalty points, maximum 4,000 penalty unit. See, these companies, they are big ones. So if you limit them to fines, they will easily pay the fines and then come back and replicate the same whatever they want to do. So there's a stiffer one here. Now, imprisonment of not less than 2 years and, of course, not more than 3 years or both. But we don't leave it at that. You can put a company into prison. And so we go on to make clear that if it's a corporate...
So who specifically suffers this?
So yeah, in case of body corporate, every director and officer of that body corporate is deemed to have committed that offence, if it is the case that you have the offence.
So the manufacturers then will bear this penalty?
Yes. That's individual, not the company.
The directors of the manufacturing company. So if it's the Jata manufacturing company, the directors, if they put out cement on the market at the price above the price ceiling, then they will.
And you see, the ceiling, and I think we should be comfortable about this, the ceiling is not going to be unilateral.
Well, he's been explaining to my colleague Evans Mensah what pushed him to consider the formulation of the LI.
I left instructions that I'm not happy with the escalation in the cement pricing. So the committee, then I heard in the grapevine that you were literally teasing me. The minister couldn't do it. Nobody can resolve this matter of cement pricing.
Who was teasing you?
Well, those people I asked.
Not the committee. The cement manufacturers?
The manufacturers and those around it. To the extent that I called two of the executives to this office. Why do you think that the minister is powerless to control? They denied the knowledge of our suggestion, but I still got some feedback that wasn't a matter to laugh about, but that the view was that what was the minister able to do?
So they're teasing you that you've lost control?
Well, not so much losing control.
But you can't control.
But it can't be controlled. I mean, it's a free economy, so anybody does what they want. My understanding of free economy is all freedom to cheat, to fleece the people. I don't get that impression. You don't make senseless, absolutely unreasonable profit at the expense of the citizenry.
So at what point then did this conversation with them then translate into an LI?
Okay, so I asked my officers, put together an LI, to regulate the pricing so that we'll be at peace.
Well, the full interview on PM Express last night is available on all our social media platforms, also on myjoyonline.com. Well, the Subsidiary Legislation Committee is meeting at a pre-laying session to consider whether the instrument falls within the Standards Authority Act, which is the mother law. Ranking member on the Legal Affairs Committee, Richard Ahiafo, says the outcome will determine whether the instrument will be laid.
The committee will have to look at the parent act under which the LI is being proposed. That is, by the LI, they are coming under the Ghana Standard Authority Act. Whether whatever they are proposing in the LI is sanctioned by the Ghana Standard Authorities Act, the committee will have to satisfy itself with that. The penalty that they are proposing in the LI is a penalty which is in consonance with the parent act under which they are bringing the law. So I have looked at the Ghana Standards Authority Act, have looked at the LI. I believe strongly that some provisions of the LI will be in conflict with the parent act under which they are bringing the LI. And the committee is going to critically take a look at all those things critically and come into a determination as to whether or not the law allows the minister responsible for trade and industry to come out with price control.
Well, so in May 2024, the Minister for Trade and Industry, K.T. Hammond, instructed the Cement Manufacturing Development Committee to direct cement manufacturing companies in Ghana to reverse the hike in price increases immediately. However, the Cement Manufacturers Association rejected this directive, citing production costs and the principles of a free market economy, stating that the directive was without basis and justification. That's what led to where we are today with the Trade Minister now formulating this LI. But let's check on the status of this particular legislative instrument when it comes to Parliament. Parliamentary Affairs Correspondent Kwaku Asante joins us on the line on this. So what can you tell us about the latest when it comes to this issue?
The meeting has been going on for the last 25 minutes now at the 10th floor. That is the second Deputy Speaker's office, Andrew Amakonsiama. It is currently 7-2 in terms of the members who are currently present. 7 members on the minority side, led by Chairman Dr. Dominic Ayine, and 2 MPs on the MP majority side. The minister himself, K.T. Hammond, has been in attendance early on, he raised some objections regarding the attendance of some so-called friends of the committee. The other thing that you had there, the ranking member on the Constitutional Legal Affairs Committee, not a member of the Subsidiary Legislative Committee, but has always considered himself a friend of the committee, attending their meetings and deliberating on these key issues. Since in this meeting early on, that issue was raised by the chairman, and he was by the minister. He was rebuffed by the chairman of the committee, who said these friends of the committees have always been used. I did enter at the time the meeting started. I have now been asked that because media men are not allowed. But we understand this deliberation is going to linger on for a while between today and tomorrow. And once we're able to do some conclusion, they can present a report to the House, and then a determination will be made as to whether or not this LI can be laid on the floor on Friday or next week Tuesday.
I'm curious though, what's really the talk amongst MPs and committee members when it comes to this particular LI?
The mood has shifted, particularly since Tuesday when this attempt was made to lay the LI. And now it is beginning to diverge that political parties are beginning to take interest in this. The minority, according to some sources within the rank of the committee as well as the leadership itself, really tell me that they believe that this LI is just an attempt to obscure the issues and actually exculpate government in terms of its incompetence, quote-unquote, in handling the economy. They say that the reason why the cement prices are going up is not because there's a cartel, but it's because the economy is struggling and the city is not performing well, for which reason the importation of clinker, which is the basic raw material for cement, is at such a high price. And they believe that the minister is just trying to muddy the waters. And so they are going to oppose that. The minister, you must recall, a few months ago tried to lay a similar LI to regulate again the importation of rice and other things. The minority did block him at the time. The minority say they intend to do the same thing this time around.
You may be on the 10th floor, but you have your eyes and ears on the floor of Parliament itself. What's happening? What are we expecting today?
The sitting hasn't started because the minority is currently on trial. We know that last week the agreement that was struck between the minority and majority leadership was that whenever the minority leader is in court for his trial, sitting will start after the trial. Mm. And so today we expect that trial will conclude around 2 or 3 p.m. Then sitting will then start. The number of MPP and NDC MPs have already come in. More NDC MPs going to the court to solidarize with their colleague. I haven't seen a copy of the other paper yet, but they are expected to be questions. They're expected to be issues around certain road construction, particularly the Ofankoin Swam Road that are stalled for a while now.
Okay, that's Parliamentary Affairs Correspondent Kwikwa Sante setting the tone nicely for us to head to the court now, and the prosecution is continuing the cross-examination of the third accused person, Richard Jakma, in the ongoing ambulance procurement trial for which the Minority Leader of Parliament, Dr. Kesa Latuforsing, is standing trial together with the third accused for willfully causing financial loss to the state and deliberately misapplying state property. The state says it lost some 2.37 million euros for nothing more than defective sprinter buses. Today's cross-examination will provide the prosecution with a fourth window of opportunity to inquire into the processes leading up to the purchase of the ambulances from the businessman Latif Idris. Our legal affairs correspondent is in court for us, joins us on the line. Has it started? Okay, it appears that Latif, because of the proceedings, is unable to join us, but he'll be giving us updates. And as and when he does, I'll bring you up to speed on that. Now, in a related development, poverty, lack of education and interference from persons in high offices, including traditional authorities and politicians, have been identified as major factors working against Ghana's efforts at ending human trafficking. According to the Deputy Attorney General, Dina Asunapadapa, despite government interventions, including the passage of relevant laws, these factors continue to affect her office efforts at prosecuting perpetrators of the crime. She spoke on the sidelines of the National Justice Conference of the International Justice Mission here in Accra.
In other health and other needs. So public sensitization is very key. And of course, we also need to be very alert, you know, as a community, to be able to report some of these things. And I've mentioned largely some of the problems we encounter when we are prosecuting some of these perpetrators is for members within the community to purport to interfere in the prosecution, either through lobbying or luring and through threats of death and other things. I think there's a whole community responsibility on all of us. So government, we're doing our bit, but we relish the continuing support of all of us. Yes, so we have passed the Act 694. We have also ratified the Palermo Protocol on preventing suppression of human trafficking. But we also need to be alert. And I indicated that these perpetrators are innovative and then continue to change the goalposts.
Well, that's a Deputy Attorney General, Dinah Snobadapa, and Latif Idris thankfully joins us on the line with more. Latif, has the showdown begun?
Yeah, so Latif Dapa has been called to the witness box as we speak with you, the Deputy Attorney General, Alfred Chiayebua, who is undertaking the cross examination today, is the one cross-examining Richard Dapa. And the first question he put to him is, when you appeared the last time, you made a case that the seal that was on the LC was the seal of the substantive finance minister. Is that the case? And this is the quote. That's the quote I've just given you. That's the question which is Dapa has been asked, and is asking for documents to verify if indeed that was his words before he goes on to answer. And the judge quickly intervened and said that he didn't refer to any document when asking the question, and so he should go ahead and answer. I'm sure by now Richard Dapa has given the answer to the question.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Question that has been put to him by the Deputy Attorney General, who is undertaking the cross-examination for the Alfred Chiayebua.
Well, Latif, let me leave you to rush back into the court so you don't miss anything. And that's our legal affairs correspondent, Latif Idris, giving us update on that cross-examination that's currently underway. Now, environmental advocates are lauding the planned imposition of a 5% tax on locally manufactured plastic products. They believe this measure will contribute significantly to addressing the pervasive issue of plastic pollution. However, the move has sparked controversy among plastic manufacturers who are threatening to, in 7 days, shut down their production plant and send over 30,000 workers home for 1 week if the government does not halt the implementation. At a press conference yesterday, they accused the government of misusing the existing 10% environmental tax, which was originally intended to fund environmental protection. President of the National Association of Sachet and Packaged Water Producers, Magnus Nunu, says government does not use the existing 10% environmental excise tax for its purpose.
If it is to manage plastics, right? We have gone, and I have been privileged to be part of those meetings. So many meetings about this plastic, national plastic policy here and there, and we go so much cities, so much talk shop. In all these things, we've been trying to write a comprehensive policy paper for plastics, and we have not been able to. But if you check, plastics is being managed, it's being carried. Who is doing it? This is the private sector. Individuals are investing money into collection, buying their own trucks with the support of some companies who have donated tricycles for these guys to do it. Nothing from the government side. So it means that the enjoyment is influence that coming. Okay, if everybody uses it, that means that you can get a lot of money from there.
He's warning of a looming shortage of bottled and sachet water if the Plastic Manufacturers Association goes ahead with a planned shutdown of its production plants.
The main body that supplies us with our packaging material shuts down. What does it mean? It means that you wake up on the day they shut down, and there will be no bottled water, there will be no sachet water. Automatically, we'll have to fall in line by default. We can't package it in paper. We still have to package it in plastic materials, be it bottled water or sachet. Here, it is the consumers who have to endure the hardship of going without water.
We can now hear from one of the environmental advocates, founder for the African Youth Alliance for Chemicals and Waste, Kwame Ofori. He says the tax is a good way of managing the plastic menace, but says there should be a reduction.
The environmental excise tax is something that is good, and I believe that it could help build a way of strengthening some of these plastic issues that you are facing, particularly the plastic challenge that you are facing within our system. I believe it's a good thing, and one of the things that maybe we could talk about here is to the reduction of maybe the 5%. If there's a way for a good negotiation.
Well, the coordinator for Eco Conscious, Awula Sewa, wants a single-use plastics to be banned. Let's hit the education front now. And students at the Accra College of Education are still bearing the brunt of the strike embarked upon by the Colleges of Education Teachers Association of Ghana, CTAG, on the 14th of June. Academic activities on the campus have been grounded to a halt, with students compelled to study on their own or in groups while their lecturers are away. Some of the students who spoke to Joy News team called on government to address the concerns of their lecturers.
The strike, as the students, we are not happy about the strike because it's affecting us a lot. Because there are some courses we need most of the lecturers, because we the students, some of us need a guidance. You see, we need a guidance from the lecturers. So as the strike comes, it's affecting us a lot. Yeah, it's affecting us. So we are just pleading with the government to do. What the lectures are demanding. Yeah.
Well, my colleague Kenneth Jesse has visited some of the schools, joins us on the line. So let's talk about the situation on the campuses that you visited, Ken.
Well, apart from they being affected academically, they say their finances are also being affected. Most of them have had to spend more than they can afford because they have to, stay indoors for a long time. And because they have no lectures to attend to, they'll have to spend more money. I spoke with the SRC president, who also did indicate that he's been getting complaints from the students that their monies are getting finished. And the final year students are also fearing that their graduation, which is happening in September, could be dragged due to this strike. If this strike continues for a long time and is not addressed by government, they fear that they could be compelled to stay on campus till at least December.
And you've been interacting and checking with the leadership of CTAG. What's the latest on their negotiation with government?
Well, we understand that they will be meeting with the NLC later today to address their concerns. They say that they will not speak to it until the meeting is over. So we'll be monitoring the situation to bring our listeners up to speed.
Thank you very much, Kenneth JC. Let me take you to the Ashanti region and check on the CETA strike as well. And my colleague Nana Buachi Dankwaye Adom joins us on the line. Nana, what can you report?
Well, MFA, the prolonged strike has really biting hard on the Wesley College of Education campus where I am currently. Classrooms are locked as many of these students are sitting under trees interacting among themselves. Now, their hopes hangs in the balance as they are waiting upon the administration, the College of Education administration, to release the timetable for them as to when they are going to write their end of semester examination. That was to be done long ago, but due to the strike, it wasn't done. Now, they are waiting on CTAG to call off the strike and the administration to release the timetable for them.
That's my colleague Nana Buachi Dankwaye Adom reporting live from Kumasi. We are live on Love 99.5 FM in Kumasi, also on Joy 99.7 FM in Accra and on myjoyonline.com. It's a good time to take a quick break here on the Midday News, supported by Petrosol, your clean fuel in full quantity, also by Duroplus Ghana Limited, where Duroplus goes, water flows. We return from the break with sports and shortage of night watchmen in the Upper West Regional Capital Wa following the unresolved murders.
One model a junior high. And then I realized that the next person who was recommended to be the watchman didn't want to go. He said he won't go.
Staying with us on the Midday News, time for sports.
Move around. Yes, MFR. So the technical director of the Ghana Football Association, Professor Joseph Minta, has revealed plans that promise to see Ghana dominate world football with the Elite Talent Identification Project. The initiative is to scout and nurture the brightest young talent across the nation to form the backbone of the national teams. The entire project is set to roll out across all regions, ensuring no talent goes unnoticed.
The whole long-term goal or target is to honor talents, and develop the youth for our youth national team so that we can feed into the senior national team. The target is to get every region one academy. So maybe in the next 5, 6, 7 years, each region will have its own academy. And that is where you can assemble the best talents for each region. And then from there, we tap from the pool, and then they feed the youth national teams, and then grow to be part of the senior national teams. Ghana should be the chain. The supply chain should keep going. And as a result, our target is to be in the World Cup and, if possible, conquer the world.
Yep, conquer the world. Joseph Minta is the technical director of the Ghana FA.
Thank you very much, Mubarak. It's time for our Clean Air series, and women working in small-scale palm oil production face severe health risks from hazardous conditions involving high heat and constant exposure to toxic smoke. Thousands of women are being sickened and risking death from illnesses resulting from their work. Mona Lisa Frimpong reports from Uforikrom in the Ashanti region.
Vivian and Charity are some of the thousands of women whose health is threatened by the harmful effects of cooking with firewood. According to the World Health Organization, nearly 4 million people each year die from household smoke produced by dirty stoves and fuels. According to Medical Coordinator for Doctors in Business Organization, Dr. Florence Boampunsim, she says the smoke will cause a range of illnesses.
Sometimes it even goes as far as triggering asthma, you know. So there's triggering of respiratory issues like asthma. We have the skin blemishes. We have the respiratory breathing problems, the blurred vision. It actually goes hand in hand with the other kind of exposures, but wood to the same kind of gas that comes out causes that, because it's quite dangerous to our health.
For females, Dr. Boampunsim says they are likely to suffer from hormonal imbalance from long-term exposure to smoke.
So it causes hormonal imbalance for some of the women. You also have low immunity. So the more you are sitting by these gases that are being exposed from the firewood, it causes a lot of dehydration issue.
Dirty cooking practices are also contributing to climate change. Despite her painful symptoms, Vivian Fori rarely seeks medical care.
You know, in Ghana, we all do not like going for checkup. As long as I am able to stand on my 2 feet, I am okay. We get so sick often coming into contact with this high heat and smoke. If you do not drink blood tonic for a week or in a month, you will be seriously ill.
That's Mona Lisa Frimpong's story there for our Clean Air series today. And this story was a collaboration with New Narratives. Funding was provided by the Clean Air Fund. The funder had no say in the content of the story. And now the unresolved murder of two night watchmen in the Upper West Regional Capital Wa is pushing some night watchmen to abandon their post. The two incidents were recorded at the Wa East Education Service Office and the Wa Model JHS School. 10 days on, the police is yet to make any arrests. We can hear from the Wa Central MP, Dr. Rashid Pelpour.
So far, no such arrest has been made. It's still like a mystery, and nobody has been found to be anything close to the murder case as at now. So we are still far away from the reality of the finding the suspects and getting any prosecution to go on.
Now, health experts are warning of a looming disaster if urgent measures are not taken to mitigate the exponential rise in non-communicable diseases in Ghana. The Silent Epidemic is our new hotline documentary co-produced by Emmanuel Jivenu and Sarah Mabladi Souza. They are highlighting the cost burden on individuals, the health system and the national economy.
A silent epidemic is sweeping through Ghana, affecting millions of lives. Non-communicable diseases are a growing threat to global health, and the cost burden is staggering.
If you ask me as a clinician, one condition I fear most, in fact, I fear diabetes even more than cancer, because once your sugar is so high, it affects virtually all tissues.
Look out for NCDs, The Silent Epidemic. It airs on Monday, 1st July 2024 at 8:30 p.m. on the Joy News channel and all our social media platforms. And it's time for M&J. Yeah. What's happening? M without the J. Where is J? Okay, let's go on. What's happening?
A lot is trending, MFA. Napo is trending. Eh? WeTire is trending and medical is trending. Let me tell you why WeTire.